Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KKRN Community Radio, Acorn Community Enterprises, or the underwriters of this station. Welcome to Candidate Interviews and Voting Information, presented by KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio, produced and hosted by Lynn Fritz. That's me. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. In each of our programs, each candidate running for Shasta County Board of Supervisors, District 3, will be asked the same question. Each candidate was given the questions in advance. We welcome to this program candidate Corky Harmon. Welcome, Corky.
Good morning.
Good morning. Where did you grow up, and when did you become a resident of Shasta County?
I was born in Shasta County, third generation. I've got fourth generation raised, and we're working on fifth generation, my grandkids.
That's awesome. How many grandkids do you have?
Three. We just added one about 3 weeks ago.
Ah, that's awesome, isn't it?
Yes.
Grandkids are wonderful. Probably the only thing better than that is great-grandkids.
Right. Yeah, the grandkids, it's a whole different feeling.
Yes.
It's amazing.
Yes. And where do you live in Shasta County?
I live in Palisadro. Been in the same home since early 90, I think 91.
That's
awesome. We built our house out there, raised all our kids there. They went through Redding Christian School and Foothill.
Uh-huh. So you grew up in Shasta County, and did you go to college, university?
I went to Oklahoma Baptist University, ran track down there. It was a short term, but I ended up back here at Shasta College. Well, that was a long time ago. Early 80s, yeah.
So you got your AA at Shasta College?
I got the equivalent. I really didn't have much direction at that time, and I went into business. I always wanted to be an entrepreneur, and I started early in my own business and been working in business in Shasta County for 40 years.
That's awesome. So for formal education, it really ended with Shasta College.
Yes.
And then you went to work.
Then I went to work, yes.
And so when you went to work, what were you up to?
Well, I was a finance adjuster for about 8 years, worked for the banks in this area. And then the rest of my education was programs like getting sent to, when I got into construction, management type courses through, like AGC had different programs, Associated General Contractors, and Snipple Weeble Haas would send me to some of those types of further education, for particularly about what I was doing as a project manager.
So after banking, you went into construction.
Right. I wouldn't call me in banking, but I was working for the banks, but yes. And then construction, I started at about 28 years old, 29 years old. But I grew up in construction. My dad was always chasing projects all over the country, and so that was my natural upbringing background.
Yes. So when you worked in construction, what sort of construction were you doing?
We're a heavy civil contractor, so we do a lot of highway work. For instance, the ingot realignment, a lot of people have went through that project. It was year before last, and we're probably out there on the highway. I don't remember the exact time, but, for about a year. And then that's just an example of what we do. But we do a lot of we're paving, dirt, underground, city, county, Caltrans, federal highways.
So when you began your career in construction, what position did you start with?
I started out as a foreman. I was on the, went to the Ochoco Dam in Oregon for about 6 months. Was my initial project with Stemple Weeble House. Came back down in the 97 flood. Got me down on the Klamath River for about 6 months, doing emergency work, getting the roads reopened and rehabbed.
So did you stay with foreman for a number of years?
No, I went to superintendent pretty much the next project I was put in charge of, and then went from that to project manager. Worked as in that capacity for about 4 years, and then was asked by the Dick Stemple and Bill Weibelhaus to become an associate owner, a junior, you know, partner in a continuation plan for the company. And then by 2010, before that, we went back and bought my old business, which was Mountain Gate Quarry. I worked there for about 8 years for my father-in-law, Marshall Worley. And then we went back and bought him out. It was kind of a shoe-in because I knew the business, so I brought it to the table. And then in 2010, there was three junior partners. The senior partners retired by then, and then in 2010, I bought the other two partners out. So I always tell them they left me holding the bag.
It's a good bag, though.
Yeah.
So you've had a lot of experience in construction, very diverse, and have just come up through the ranks through the years until where you're owning the business.
Yes.
Wow. That's pretty impressive. So how many years overall have you been doing that?
With Stemple Weibelhaus?
Yeah.
Since 96.
96 till today.
Today, yes.
Yes, yes. You like that kind of work?
I do. I do like that kind of work. My son went to, I tried to let him go whatever direction he wanted. I said, whatever you're passionate about, that's what you need to do. And he went off to, did junior college here, and then finished his degree in construction management at Sac State. He's been back working in the business and running the business for 6 years, maybe a little more than that.
So it's becoming a family business.
Yes.
Slowly. That's pretty awesome.
I'm very fortunate to have my son come up in the business.
Yeah. How many kids do you have?
Three.
Three kids, and yeah. How many grandkids?
Three.
Yeah. It's a consistent number, isn't it?
Right. I'm hoping it doesn't stay that way. Yeah. I want more.
You want more, oh, yes. Yeah. Not that you're greedy. It's kind of nice to enjoy them, isn't it?
Yes.
And running for District 3, Shasta County Board of Supervisors, what kind of inspired you to decide to run for office?
Well, I did run for supervisor around 2010. And then everybody said, you need to run. You're going to have to run twice before you can get the job. It's kind of hard, an unknown to step into the political atmosphere. But I, a little over a year ago, I started feeling like I'll be 65 in the spring. If I'm going to do something, looking at them grandkids, if I'm going to do something to try to help, I mean, it's a stepping out of the private life to the public life is a big step.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt like if you're going to do something, you need to do it now. The window's right there, you know, and I have backfilled myself in my operations, my businesses. And I guess I just don't want my grandkids to say that Poppy didn't do anything about it.
About
all the concerns, you know, in the county. Yeah. I mean, it's hard to do anything from any other level as far as the country goes. But I feel like that's what we need is a good board, diversified board, somebody from the community, somebody that's got a lot of good business sense. It's the largest business in Shasta County is the business of Shasta County.
Yes. And critical to the well-being of our residents, don't you think?
Absolutely.
Yeah, because, you know, oftentimes people will say, well, I don't want to get involved. My vote doesn't matter. And I think that two most important elections are local elections and presidential, because it really sets a tone for daily life. So I think that's very critical. And we happen to be November 2024 as presidential as well as the local.
Yes. Very, very important election for us.
Yes. And What's your political party affiliation?
I'm a conservative Republican.
Any particular reason you were drawn to that? Have you always been a conservative Republican?
In my early years, I was not that involved. Uh-huh. I wasn't paying attention. I was working all the time. It wasn't until the last, say decade or more that I became more aware of what's going on around us. And but I've always been conservative Republican. I'm a Christian man, and I feel like the values there are coincide with mine. You know, there's a lot of people that take different titles. They'll say they're Democrat or Republican. This is really more of a nonpartisan position. I want to take the position of representing the people, my neighbors, my friends, and I think it's important that somebody steps in there that has a lot of business experience, mm-hmm. that has a lot of experience working with other people. I would contribute my success in my businesses to being able to work with whoever it is, the owner, the crews that I work with, the people in my office, the people on the jobs, the owners of the projects, you know, whoever that might be. You're tasked with the job of putting together people, mm-hmm. being able to work with people. If I was going to take a lot of pride in what I've done with my businesses, it's the people, mm-hmm. the people that work for me, that want to work for me, that create the team that you have that, gets the job done.
Do you think serving on the Board of Supervisors, Shasta County Board of Supervisors, that you have the capacity, if elected, and even though you're conservative Republican, to work with all individuals, not just conservative Republicans?
Absolutely. I feel like, a lot of my frustration is the division that's going on, the frustration of sitting in a board meeting and experiencing that. It's very disheartening to see people that I feel like don't have the right intent that are not willing to reach across and I don't even like that term, reach across the aisle, because it's like we're all on the same team. We're all in the same community.
All in the same aisle, really.
Yes. And we need to be able to work together and work together efficiently. If we disagree on something, that's okay. Agree to disagree and move on, you know. But be able to be competent about the decisions you make.
Do you think you've been successful in working with people that even though you didn't agree with them?
Absolutely. I've had a lot of inspectors that were engineers that were difficult to work with. Had people on my crews that were difficult to work with. I've had people on my crews that I had to say, you know, you're not a good fit.
Mm-hmm.
I've had to make difficult decisions all through my career. But working with people is vital. You have to be able to do that or you can't get anywhere.
Yeah.
You're only as good as the people you surround yourself with.
Mm-hmm. And in your working career in construction, have you ever had to interface with state agencies and local agencies as part of the task of business?
Yeah, I would say it's probably not too many agencies that I haven't worked with. It's just part of it. You know, I'm in the trucking business too, so the atmosphere for a trucking company it's difficult. You got to meet all these regulations. You got to follow all these guidelines. You got to permits, fees. It goes on and on. In construction, it's whoever it is, fish and game, water quality, air quality, the sensitive part of building something, environmentally sensitive stuff. You know, you're tasked with a broad spectrum of our regulators, our permits. You know, the Mountain Gate Quarry. We just went through the process of extending our lease, our permit to a 25-year permit. So you got to go through all those processes. You got to hire the right companies that handle environmental issues. You got to deal with the county, air quality, water quality, all those agencies. You sit across the table from them, and you work out whatever the issues are until you have a green light and you can go.
Mm-hmm. You have to make sure you can have that skill set to be able to work with every scenario you come up against.
Yes, and people need to be able to trust you.
Yeah,
you're going to do what you say you're going to do. You know, you have a good reputation in my business. Reputation's everything. You know, it's we've been there for the company was started in '69. I was only 9 years old. Obviously, I wasn't there when it started, but great company, great mentors, great reputation with whoever it is, regulators, all across the board. You know, you're dealing with them, and you got to deal with them, and you got to follow all the rules. You got to make sure you're compliant. It's all about being compliant. You got to be compliant with whatever the rules are. You know, it's very important to getting anything done.
Yeah, yeah. It sounds like part of the focus you have in business is really about building relationships so that even when you disagree, it's still possible to work together, and that you recognize agencies. They tell you this is what you need to do, and you have to show up and do that.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. If you just joined us, this is a segment of candidate interviews and voting information. It's presented by KKRN, 88.5 FM Community Radio. I'm your producer and host, Lynn Fritz. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. As I mentioned earlier, in each of our program, the candidates running for Shasta County Board of Supervisors District 3 are asked the same questions, and each candidate is given the questions in advance. We're here in conversation with Corky Harmon. He is running for District 3 Shasta County Board of Supervisors. Okay, Corky, we talked about your party affiliation. We talked a little bit about your career and working. I want to just make sure I understand of the affiliations, political party affiliations. You were drawn to that because of your own values. You felt the conservative Republican represented kind of your viewpoint.
Yes. I mean, not completely 100% all the time. I mean, that's hard to accomplish, but
yes,
but yes, I feel like, I'm very patriotic. I've always, at a young age, my older brother, who was not very much older, a year and a half older than me, went in the military, and I wanted to go in the military. My dad said, absolutely not. He's already got one son in there. He only had two sons, and he didn't want me to do it. And I always did what my dad told me to do. You know, mm-hmm. it was important to me to feel like I wanted to go in the military. I'm very competitive. I actually wanted to go to boot camp because mm-hmm. I thought that would be fun, you know. But I would like to have had that under my belt to have been a veteran. I didn't do that. My brother, I ended up 33 years retired out of the military.
Wow.
So I always feel like I sort of did my part through my brother, you know. Yeah. As far as the family goes, you know, it was I value that a lot, what my brother did, and I feel like I just went to that Heroes for Veterans dinner. Boy, that was very heartfelt. I actually took my brother with me to that, and he spent 5 years at Walter Reed, bringing in, you know, when the wounded soldiers would come, and he was the liaison between the family and the soldiers, and so I got a lot of feedback from him over those years, and I have a big heart for our veterans.
Yes, their service to our nation.
Absolutely.
And it sounds like you really honored the request of your father to not go in the military, even though you wanted to.
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's hard for parents to have all their children go into the military. I can understand why your dad would ask you not to. One son in, one son out, because they're at higher risk for loss of life. I'm wondering, too, before your political campaign, have you worked on other political campaigns in the past?
A little bit with my Uncle Jim Pope, when he was running for sheriff early on. I got a little bit involved with his, had absolutely no idea what that world was like. It's probably didn't pay a whole lot of attention, except for it's my uncle, part of my family, and I have some memories of that whole process.
Yeah.
Not in detail. I was working, full time. So, but as far as any other campaigns, no, I haven't been involved in other campaigns.
But you're working on your campaign.
I'm working on mine. what a different world.
An adventure, huh?
Yes.
That's pretty funny. What experience do you have in working with, let's start with local government. Have you served in any local government positions previously to this campaign?
A little bit. I worked on the road a lot in my career as a contractor, doing projects, all over the place. We might be in Las Vegas or Sacramento or Kings Canyon or, like I said earlier, up in Oregon. So it was pretty busy, 6-7 days a week at times. Pretty hard on family life. My wife was awesome. She'd come to the projects, and I'd go home every other week. We'd switch off the burden of working out of town. But it didn't give me much time to pay attention to a whole lot else around me for years.
Yes. Have you served on any committees or commissions in the past?
I served on the CSA 8 Advisory Board, which was the sewer water for Palo Cedro.
Ah, okay.
That was interesting to me. That was my first experience doing anything like that. That was quite a few years ago.
So that was a committee or board commission?
Well, it's an advisory board.
Advisory board.
Yeah. So, and it's made up of people from the community.
Yes.
Yes.
So you served on that. Have you served in other areas of committees or commissions?
I'm on a board for Creekside Counseling. I actually said to them when they asked me, I said, I don't know anything about what you're doing, so I'm not sure I'm a good candidate. They said, no, absolutely. That's what we want. We want somebody that's outside of our business, outside of our, world of, and so I sat in there and listened to their challenges, their, budgets, their, mostly their challenges, because they do a lot of work with, like grants or,
Yeah, they're a nonprofit organization that provides counseling services.
You're probably familiar with Creekside.
Yes, Creekside Counseling. I can remember when Keith Manor was at the helm.
Yes.
Yes, yep. For many, many years. But they've been in this community for a long time and have really helped a lot of people. So as a nonprofit organization, they will have a board of directors, and you've served on that board.
I'm currently on it right now.
I've been
on it for... I don't know, a year or two.
Yeah.
But
So you bring a wealth of information about business, how to make it successful monetarily, the fiscal part, the financial part, and then I can imagine that in your conversations and working on that board, you're immersed in services that are specifically targeted on mental health.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And thinking about that role on the board for Creekside Counseling, a little challenging not knowing the ins and outs of everything, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I was like a fish out of water.
Yeah.
You know, at the first board meetings, they're great people to work with, though. They're, but I spent a lot of time just listening to their challenges, you know, and their challenges, it's a lot of it, it's about budgeting.
Yeah.
It's finance, you know, because they're running a business and they got to make ends meet like anybody else does. So, that was something I was familiar with, paying bills and, right, and running payrolls. And
yeah. And you in the past have worked in for-profit, so now you have worked in the nonprofit by serving on the board.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's important, having that diversity. It's other worlds. And then early on, you had been in banking. So all that, I think, is the diversity is helpful.
I spend a lot of time with my accountant.
I bet you do.
He comes to our board meetings to keep us lined out, yes.
That's good. That's good. Have you ever served on a state commission?
I have not.
Okay. And the other thing I wanted to ask you about is federal government, any role? I know you have in business worked with state and local and all the different things, but I'm specifically asking, like, have you ever served in a capacity as an advisor at state or local? I mean, a state at federal level?
No.
Okay. Yeah, it's kind of a different task. So if elected to office, what issues do you think are central in your focus for Shasta County?
Well, I support law enforcement is at the top of my list. I mean, crime, homelessness, mental health, those are big issues, and it's hard to separate a lot of it because they're tied together. A lot of our homelessness has to do with, obviously, mental health, and then drugs, alcohol. It's pretty rampant out there. You know, we have even my office over off of Industrial Street. It's right outside your window every day.
Yeah,
and it's hard to watch. It's hard to see. It's hard to know what to do. There's a lot of programs out there that I think are doing a great job that are making some headway with it. You know, I had a little meeting last night, and one of the people that was in this meeting, their input was, how do we get them off the street?
Mm-hmm.
Which has to do with housing, which has to do with, but it's I watch them, some of them are people that I don't think they have the capacity to reach out and ask for help. They're mm-hmm. you know, they're so
lost
on drugs, or not, you know, not always. Sometimes it's mental. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's, but the challenge is, how do you reach out to them and get them to accept the help? That's mm-hmm. why I see the challenges. Do some of them, you know, do they need to, we need to have an ability to, you know, there's a thing called 5150, but even that they're having difficulty. You have to be able to show that there's a threat to their life or a threat to somebody else's life to even get anywhere with that. You understand that. You're in, mm-hmm. in that business. But it's like, how do you get past that? How do you get, we need to have some, and I think there's some headway, you know, being made. You know, I see some positive things, even statewide, you know, where they're saying, hey, we gotta do something about these homeless camps. We gotta go in there and help these people. We can't just watch what's going on and not do anything about it. Let's let's see what we can do about it. It's a very difficult thing for me to talk about. I don't have a lot of experience in that, a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of people out there. You know, I think even like the sheriff's department and the city and need to have, and I think Sheriff Johnson's doing a good job working with police department, our districts for county supervisor go into the city. So a lot of that homelessness and crime is RPD's job.
Mm-hmm.
But there absolutely has to be some kind of reaching across the aisle and working together with those departments. And I think there is. I'm not saying making any statements about there isn't. And I'm sure there's a lot for me to learn there. But I think that that's big on my mind. That's what I want to learn more about and see what can be done interagency, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. We were talking a few minutes ago of how you are serving on the board at Creekside Counseling that works with mental health, works with addiction issues. I'm wondering if there's any other areas in your life, whether it's personal or interface with any groups, where you've worked with addiction.
Absolutely. I think there's not too many people that aren't touched in their own family.
Yeah.
With addiction. I remember quite a few years ago when my kids are, the youngest one's 32 years old now, but when they were young, I remember one Christmas, I felt like I needed to teach my kids about giving. Christmas is a little, you know, unfortunately, it's a lot about what you're going to get. And I took them to one of the shelters. I had them go through all their stuff and say, you know, hey, we're going to go share. And they, I think I had them pick up, we had a couple of their Christmas presents that we went and shared, and they got into some of their personal stuff and said there's, and you know, a conversation at home was, you know, there's families out there that aren't fortunate to have a home like you have and all the things that you have to play with, and they were pretty small at the time. So I took them to a homeless shelter, and I probably got the biggest lesson. Not the kids. It was more about me. I ran into a cousin that was in there to spend the night. It was the shelter, and I think it was at the, it's quite a few years ago, but it was like at the Armory. And at the time, I don't know if they do that at the Armory anymore for shelter, but yeah, that was kind of a big deal. I had to introduce my cousin to my family. I hadn't seen him in years. You know how it is. You got a lot of family that you're not in touch with, and
yeah,
that was a little bit of an impact on me.
I can imagine. If you have just joined us, this is a segment of candidate interviews and voting information. This is presented by KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio. I'm your producer and host, Lynn Fritz. This program, we're interviewing the candidates running for Shasta County Board of Supervisors, District 3. Each candidate is asked the same questions, and each candidate was given the questions in advance. We're here in conversation today with Corky Harmon. He's a resident of Palisadro, California. He resides in District 3. So, you know, we talk about... you know, you mentioned crime, addiction, mental health. There's so many issues that society, specifically, we're focused right now in conversation with Shasta County. You know, one of the things that's come up more recently, one of the things you hear people make comments, especially kind of the shift in focus with the Shasta County Board of Supervisors, is wanting to do things on our own as a county. And we might say move away from the influence of the state.
Yes.
What do you think about that?
I think we've lost a lot of local influence, meaning it used to be a lot of the community that stepped up, whether it was through your local churches or local organizations, you know, like the mission. I see a lot of the government programs that aren't very efficient, that we're spending a lot of money. I think the money can get redirected and spent in other places that are more effective. I want to delve into that. If I get the job as supervisor, that's one of the areas that I think is, there's lots of stories like that. What I mentioned earlier, the veterans, you know, the Heroes program that Justin's doing is very effective. They have a success rate that I don't think is mirrored anywhere else. I mean, there's a lot of places, but I mean in the government that's mirrored. Those people that, a lot of times, those people that are in those programs are in there because they have a heart for it. They're doing it because that's what they felt called to do, and they are. It's amazing what the stories are that are coming out of. And I think there's a lot of those types of programs out there. I want to learn who all those programs are and see what we can do to divert funds to those effective programs.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I'm pointing to is that a large portion of the funding that supports what happens in the government at Shasta County comes from the state of California.
Yes.
And because of that, the state says this is where we want the money to go to help on these programs. And there's been kind of a tone of we're going to do what we want to pull back from that, which means, you know, we are dependent upon the state for money. So how do we work with that relationship, do you think?
That's a tough question. It really is, because there's usually strings attached.
Uh-huh.
If it comes from the state, there's so many strings attached that you just almost want to say, no. I think it was $38.5 million that was just given that came in from the state. I think 10 and a half, over 10 or 15 years, I can't remember the number, but there was, I think, $10 million of it is here right now.
But can Shasta County, do you think realistically, operate on its own without state funding?
No.
Yeah. So we have to work with it, huh?
We have to work with it, yes.
Yeah.
But we got to be careful how we work with it, because of those strings that are attached. It's like the state wants to be in our business and be in everything that we're doing. And if we don't agree with them, sometimes you don't get the funds, or you get the funds and you're compromising those strings that are attached. They're,
for instance, if we are not in a good relationship and we say we want to be independent and there's a wildfire, then we don't get CAL FIRE, we don't get Forest Service, we don't get all these programs that help us maintain public safety, as an example.
Sure, yeah. Absolutely.
I think it's all critical to understand that relationship. I go back to when you talked about, as a business owner, having to interface with different agencies to be able to do the work you're going to do, to be successful. You know, you could be an independent and say, I'm not going to abide by the rules. If you don't abide by the rules working in construction by those agencies, what happens?
Well, if it's a larger project, they'll have a partnering program. And there's a partnering facilitator involved. So when you're doing those projects, if you run to issues, I'm talking about construction, so it's a little easier to deal with those issues. But you got to partner, and you got to work things out. Sometimes it's a problem with the design. Sometimes it's you run into site conditions that differ, you know, from and it was unexpected, and you got to be able to sit down at that partnering and say, okay, what are we going to do? There's some issues here. We got to work through them. They're all tied to money, you know, and so you're, but you want to be a good partner. You don't want to be that person that's doing claims that's hard to work with. You got to be somebody that's the problem solver along with your partners across the table.
Yeah, absolutely. If you think of your district, District 3, What do you think is some of the concerns for District 3? You know, we talked about homelessness, we talked about crime, mental health. Is there anything in District 3 that comes up that you're, you know, kind of concerned about?
Well, the one of the things that I heard across the board was the Intermountain, which is, you know, you can say it's Whitmore, Round Mountain, Bernie, Fall River, MacArthur, Hat Creek, all those areas up there, that they're, it's the biggest district. It's spread out more than any of the other districts. They're concerned about being represented. They're easy to forget about because they're not down here by the hub. Mm-hmm. But that's our, I think 70%, like, of the Williamson Act properties in Shasta County are in District 3. So recently, the Williamson Act, the state's trying to pull back on the tax advantage of these large parcels that we all want to see stay intact. So these ranchers and farmers got to be able to afford to keep those large parcels, and there's not a lot of money in the cattle business, but it takes a lot of land, or you know, any of the agriculture, it takes a lot of land. And the state's, you know, wanting to pull back on the advantages that they have, and those people need to be represented. I'm a wannabe rancher. I love the rural life. I love the, we have some acreage out in Palisadro. We run 25 or so head of cattle, mostly to keep the vegetation down for fire. It's a little bit of a defense. I mean, you could lease it out to somebody that's in the, you know, in the cattle business, but I like it. So we do it ourselves as a little family operation, and but these people that are out there doing it for a living, I'm fortunately not trying to do it for a living, but it's a tough business.
Yeah, it is.
I understand it, and I am very sympathetic to the Intermountain, and you know, it comes all the way down here, not just the Intermountain, Palisadro, Millville, Bella Vista, you know, all those areas, outlying areas are affected by things like the Williamson Act, and they need to be represented.
You know, I'm not familiar with the Williamson Act. What is that?
So it's a program that you can put your land into that gives them a whatever we're paying per acre taxes. Their tax advantage, it's much lower, so they can afford to stay in business and not feel like they're going to have to cut it up and sell it just to survive, sell pieces of it off. We want them to keep those large tax property, those large acreage parcels, we want them to keep those intact.
One of the projects that's up for the future is the wind farm. How do you feel about the wind farm for District 3?
I'm glad that's on this list, because I have taken the position of absolutely not. The people already voted on it. The people don't want it. There's a lot of issues with it. My opponent wants to say that I'm for the wind farm project. I am not. Actually, my campaign manager lives on top of Hatchet. He's one of the closest houses to the whole project, and he's very much against it. And I've known him since he used to work for me when he was a teenager. He's a retired highway patrolman. And that was kind of what started, you know, him getting involved on my campaign, was opposing that wind farm. And it's been spread around out there that Corky's in it to line his own pockets, and he's all for the wind farm, and that's absolutely not true.
Why are you not supportive of the wind farm?
Well, number one, the people said no. They already said no. The Energy Commission is pushing back on it, and so meaning the state's overreach to try to push that through, and we already made a decision. The people already made a decision, and it was no.
So that's the primary reason you feel it should not go forward.
Well, I have a few issues with that. With it, besides that, you know, I think it's, I don't know, it's the Green Initiative. It's the whole push for, you know, is it effective? Is it environmentally okay? Is it, there's just a lot to it that's, there's already one there. Let's not blow that thing up until we got them all the way across the ridge line. I think they've got enough.
Okay. What values or qualities do you feel are essential for a supervisor to possess and bring to their role in serving in government?
Corky, Harmon.
Qualities?
Yeah. Well, you absolutely got to know who your candidate is. Mm-hmm. Is he somebody you can trust? Is he somebody that's capable? Is he, you know, I'm hearing a lot of, you know, he doesn't have the experience. He doesn't have, well, yeah, I haven't been in there in that seat, but I do have a lot of good experience that will lend to that board. A good board needs to be diversified. I've handled emergency projects. I handled the Dixie Fire, for instance. That's just one of them, but I've handled a lot of projects that were very intense, fast moving safety projects. You know that you got to know what you're doing. You got to be able to organize. You got to be able to support, whether it's equipment, personnel, or dealing with Caltrans, which is who I was working for on that project. That experience is probably never been on the board before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take a station break here and do an ID. When I come back, Corky, I'm going to ask you, what relationship do you think the county government is to have with state and federal government? If you just joined us, this is a segment of candidate interviews and voting information. It's presented by KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio, the intention of which is to educate and inform our community about the candidates running for office. I'm your producer and host, Lynn Fritz, and each of the candidates that are being interviewed for the Shasta County Board of Supervisors District 3 are asked the same question, and each candidate was given the questions in advance. We're also featuring the League of Women Voters, Reading area, talking about different issues about how to register to vote and the measures that are on the ballot for November 2024. So coming back, what relationship do you think the county government should have with the state and federal government?
Well, it's always about funding issues. I mean, it takes funding to run any operations, and we already talked a little bit about the relationship with the state, but it's a lot about pushing back and keeping as much control as you can locally with the people. Mm-hmm. Nobody knows how to run Shasta County like Shasta County people do. This is where we live. We care the most about this county. The federal government, obviously, we got to abide by certain rules, regulations. But the federal government, you know, are we being affected, say, by the 20 million or so people that have come across the border in Shasta County? I'm sure we are. You know, it's like it's probably not as prevalent in our eyes here, but it's here. I've talked to the sheriff about it. It's here. And what are we doing to work with the federal government on that? The federal government has a lot to do with water quality, air quality. We all want good, clean water. We all want to keep our water rights. We all want to preserve our air. I mean, we're all environmentalists in one fashion or another, and but we don't want to get abused by regulations in the trucking business. Holy smokes, we can't keep up with the regulations, and it's so effective to us. Those federal regulations, a lot of them are, you know, the state of California is in the lead in the country on a lot of these. And at one point, I had, you know, a lot of people like you that say, well, you know, we're going to we're going to move to Idaho or Montana or Wyoming because we're tired of it. You know, California, it's like we can't. Well, we live in one of the most beautiful places in the country, Shasta County. We have everything here. We have, but we need to protect it. Mm-hmm. We need to push back. We need to make sure. I know it's kind of a big question.
Yeah.
But
a lot to work with, isn't there?
Absolutely.
When you hear in our community about, you see, we're oftentimes, unfortunately, since COVID, been in the national spotlight for the controversy, for the tension, for the discord that you see happen at the Shasta County Board of Supervisors, and creating a lot of tension in the community. Lots of focus on different areas, like the voting machines. You hear the controversy there. What do you think about that? What do you think should be the way things are? Do you have concern about the way things are presently?
Well, I have concern when you talk about COVID. I have concern about the next pandemic. I don't think it's a question of are we ever going to have another one. We're going to have another one. How did we handle the last one? Well, I think we let the state have too much say about what we're doing here. You got somebody like Kristi Noem in South Dakota didn't shut anything down there. She trusted the people to make the decisions.
And because we're short on time, yes. I'm going to draw you back to the discord that we see in our county board of supervisors meetings.
The discord?
Yeah. We see yelling, we see obscenities, we see all the tension between it's modeled by number of the board of supervisors. Do you think that's effective? Do you think that's in the best interest of Shasta County?
No, I don't. And it's very frustrating. We're all frustrated with it. What can we do about it? Well, I think we got some good candidates coming in that I've met with all of them. I had to meet with some of them privately because you don't want to get caught shaking hands with the wrong person because it's so toxic out there. Corky's running for supervisor as Corky Harmon, and he's talked to all those other supervisors. And I think that if I'm successful getting the job, I think that there's going to be a good board coming in that I think can get rid of a lot of that toxicity. I think we can. I've talked to all of them. Some of them are a little controversial. Some of them are, I don't, for lack of a better word, you know, everybody wants to know, are you left or right? We're Shasta County. We need to come in there and represent the people and make the right decisions and get rid of all that toxicity. You can't work if you're not working together. You're not getting anything done. I see a lot of things that are, I know they're politicized, and that shouldn't be in that environment. Mm-hmm. Stop.
You got to work with people even when you disagree with them.
Absolutely.
Yes. What do you think about money coming from sources outside of Shasta County? What do you think about money coming from outside of Shasta County that are for candidates running for office in Shasta County? Do you think that's a good thing? What do you think about that?
Well, it's every time that happens, it's those funds are because people have a specific
agenda.
Agenda. Thank you. Let me just say this. I've tried to run, and I think we've done a very good job of grassroots. And the grassroots is, and here's a good example of it. My accountant wanted to get involved and help wherever he could with the campaign. So he got, he's a number cruncher, so he got into the donations. Well, 80% or so, this is a few weeks back, so this isn't an exact number, but 80% or so at that time of the funds that were donated to me were from District 3. The opposite is true with my opponent. 80% of her funds are coming from outside District 3. Some of them are from outside the county. I don't have that in my campaign because I'm here to represent the people.
Uh-huh. So you think it's important to have it be within our county?
Yes, absolutely.
Because it influences what happens in our county. What do you think? Another controversial topic that's been up the last couple of years is expanding the jail. What do you think about that?
That's a tough one because it's all about money, right? We all know we need to expand the jail. I think we have $34 million set aside. We need a couple hundred million, you know, in round numbers. Finding monies inside the budget is big. I think we need to, you know, go in there and see where we can save money somewhere, start building funds. There's the controversy of does it go, the county owns a piece of property out off of Old Oregon Trail by 44. That's a lot cheaper to build because it's slated to be all single level if that project goes through. Then the courthouse was another one, but it's, you know, that's going to be about cost as well. And the building's old. Then you're dealing with seismic retrofit, and it's probably going to be more expensive than starting with a new location. But it needs to happen. Absolutely. I mean, our jail's full. We gotta find monies to make that happen. The state's not helping us. They're wanting to close down prisons and send them back to Shasta County or whatever their programs are. Who knows what all that is about? But it's something we gotta tackle. Absolutely, needs to happen.
We're almost out of time. So before we run out of time, I want our listeners to be able to reach out and contact your campaign. What phone number is best for them to use?
So the 530-227-7558, vote at CorkyHarmon.com or CorkyHarmon.com will get you to our website.
So that phone number again is 530-227-7558. The email again is
CorkyHarmon.com. Or vote at CorkyHarmon.com.
Okay, we just have a few minutes left. I want to ask if you think another person is better qualified to serve in the office than you, do you feel like you could step down from the campaign and support that candidate?
I'm not stepping down from the campaign. I'm not sure what we're...
So I've asked you, if you think another person other than you is better qualified than you to be the candidate to be elected to office, would you be willing to step down?
We don't have anybody that I can step down to right now. We already voted for two term limits, and Mary's in her second term, finishing her second term, and we need to.
We need
to honor that.
I wasn't specifically asking. I was asking about anyone that runs for office. I was asking about Mary Rickert.
Oh, so if it's the next candidate or term, the next election cycle, sure, absolutely.
Okay. I want to thank Corky Harmon. He's a candidate for Shasta County District 3 for Board of Supervisor. This has been a segment of candidate interviews and voting information presented by KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio. I'm your producer and host, Lynn Fritz. I want to thank our listeners and our encouragement. I know Corky feels the same way as I do. Go out and vote. It's a way that we express our voice in the community, and it helps us to be part of the solution to what's going on in our community. I want to thank you for joining us, Corky.
That's our privilege to vote and our duty. Yes.
Thank you.